There's a huge difference between feeling and knowing. You can feel like somebody's in the room with you in the dark, and yet nobody be there, but you can feel it. But when you know somebody's in the room there with you in the dark, and they shouldn't be there, then it's a different thing altogether. Too many times as Christians, we operate according to feeling instead of knowing. Feeling comes from the soulish realm, and there's nothing wrong with feelings as long as they are sanctified, as long as they are put under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, as long as they are coming out of reality. But when our feelings start coming out of our circumstances, as Brother Brandon was talking about earlier, you know, we can't live like that. As too often as Christians, especially of the Pentecostal persuasion, and I am one of us, okay, we are led to believe that if we feel something strong enough, that makes it true. And we got to feel it stronger in order for it to work and be more effective in our lives. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you don't have to feel a thing in order to be effective. Feelings are good, and I want good feelings. But I'm not hamstrung if I don't have them. I can still obey. And my obedience doesn't come from what I feel, but from what I know. And what I know comes from the Word of God. And I just believe that there's somebody here this morning, maybe multiple people, who need to hear that, because you're living from feeling to feeling, and when the feelings don't come, what's wrong? Yeah. You know, every time I get up to preach, I always say before I get up here, Lord, I'm not trusting in how good I feel today. I'm not trusting in my intellect. Everybody say, thank God for that. I am trusting in your anointing upon my life. And he has told me that he has anointed me. And I stand here before you today as an anointed man, not a brilliant man, not a particularly anything of this world man, but anointed man. And I have confidence in the knowing that he uses me for his glory. I want you to know that about you. You said, Brother, where do I get that from? Get into his word. Find out what he has to say about you. He's no respecter of persons. Our giftings and callings are different from one another. We don't all have the same thing, operate in the same way. But we all have something of God that he's given us to take to this lost and dying world. And it's not based on any feeling. It's based on knowing what God says about you. Get into his word. Spend time in his word. Don't let feelings guide you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let his written word guide you. And when feelings come along and they are line up with what his word says, praise God for that. I like it when things aren't dry, when they're exciting, when I feel good about things. But when I don't, that doesn't mean God has left. Okay, somebody need to hear that this morning. And we could have an altar call this morning, but sometimes that becomes a feeling for folks. I preached in a lot of places, okay? I know what some people live for. They live from altar call to altar call, experience to experience, feeling to feeling. And there's nothing wrong with getting hands laid on you. Still do that. But I don't want you to have faith in that. I want you to have faith in what God says to you. One word from Jesus was what caused Peter to walk on water. Come. One word. Praise God. Well, that was absolutely free this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to shift gears now. I really mean this, though. Don't walk out of this place and neglect to give room in your heart for that word of God. That was a right now word from God. And it'll change your life if you can get a hold of it. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that I have been invited here this morning. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to teach. I'm going to share with you about the ministry that God has allowed us to be a part of and to invite you to come along beside us and join with us in this. I want to share with you some vision and hope that it makes a difference in what is happening in this world. And I'm so thankful for the partnership that we already have and is growing. So praise the Lord. So I'm going to be talking to you about the international ministry. I am part of the leadership. I'm the apostolic leader of Texas House of Prayer International. It didn't used to have international on the end of it. It used to just be Texas House of Prayer. But in the last 3 years, God has been doing so much, and I'm going to be sharing about that with you today, that we truly are and truly have an international influence. And God is doing something in a powerful way. And I'm going to share with you that this name with the international, Texas House of Prayer International, more appropriately identifies our apostolic mandate and vision and the reality of how God is now using us. You know, in October, on October the 16th, 1983, when I was ordained as a young man, there was hands laid upon me by the elders and the those who had been previously called into ministry. And they laid hands on me and set me forth into the work that God had for me. I knew that I would be leaving Texas, where I'm from. This is my home state. And I was going to be going back to England, where I was stationed in the Air Force, where I met the Lord, where I met my wife, where I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And God had called me into the ministry and told me that we'd be going back over to England to begin a work over there. And so I was a part of the local church and gave myself wholeheartedly to this call and prepared myself for it. And when the time came, they laid hands on me and I was ordained into the ministry. One of the men that was laying hands on me prophesied over me at that time that the Lord would use me mightily in the nations of the world. Now, when he said that, I thought, well, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to England. That was as far as what I thought the nations of the world was. I knew I was called there, and I thought that's where I would live and die and serve out my time on earth ministering the Word of God. But he went on to further speak, and I thought he left prophesying and went off into the flesh because he said something that it just didn't ring true to me at the time. And he said, and God is going to use you in a mighty way in Africa. And I thought, He's talking about somebody else. I got no desire at all to ever go to Africa. And he mentioned another country or two. I can't remember what they are. He might have mentioned Pakistan. I look back on it now, and I think he could have said that because I didn't want to go to Pakistan either. He could have said China because I didn't want to go to China either. But he said that about Africa, and I just stored it away. He was a good dear brother at the time, and I was thankful to have him in my life, and I trusted most everything he said until he said that. But I didn't just totally dismiss it. I just put it to the side. That was in 1983. But God began to work in me and change me year by year by year, just put things in me, open up my understanding, my revelation. A lot of what I am today came from many times of being on my face before God and crying out to Him, Lord, why this? Why that? Why isn't this working? What are we doing wrong as a local church? What are we doing wrong as a church worldwide? Lord, teach me. And He began to. And He began to show me things that I haven't got time to go into today, but He began to give me vision for a team ministry concept that we see in the Scripture. I see it now. I didn't see it back then. And about the fivefold ministry and people working together, honoring one another and their different gifts, and submitting to God, working through one another, and then beginning to see how the earth is going to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ if we do things His way. As a result of many things over the years, we have truly become ends of the earth focused. It is something that is part of our apostolic call and ministry. I'm going to be sharing with you some things about how this ministry has come to be. Again, I know these things. I don't feel them. I know. I know because of what God has shown me in His Word, and I know because of what He is revealing and opening up. Doors have been opening up in many different places in the last 3 or 4 years that didn't open for years and years and years. I felt like everything was a closed door. Everything was a brick wall. Everything was yelling at me, stop. Not from heaven, but from what I was experiencing on this earth. But God began to open up doors of ministry that I just couldn't believe. Let me share some things with you concerning that. Texas House of Prayer Uganda officially launched on the 7th, on 29th of July, 23. Texas House of Prayer Uganda. You think that's some ego you got, brother, trying to name something in Uganda after your church. No, I told them, I said, just go for House of Prayer Uganda. They tried it to register with the government. The government wouldn't have anything to do with it. They said, it sounds like it's a state-run church. Give us some other options. And they gave them all kinds of options, and the only one that they accepted was Texas House of Prayer Uganda. It had nothing to do with me. I thought just same as you. Why would you do that? But I will get into it in a minute. We have Texas House of Prayer, Kenya. We have Texas House of Prayer, Tanzania. We have Texas House of Prayer, Pakistan. All of them to me sound silly. I didn't do it. God did it. It just amazes me. I wasn't looking to have that name out there. God opened that up. But it started in Uganda. On the date of launch, when we launched the church, we began with 9 branch churches located in different locations or districts in Uganda. 9 churches. The brother that came under our ministry and submitted to our apostolic authority, he came with his church and 8 others. So immediately on the day of launch, we had 9 churches in Uganda. As of this date, there are now 35 branch churches in Uganda. 35 churches. Now, in January, I shared the same, partly the same message to our church as part of our Vision Sunday at Texas House of Prayer International. And we had 30 churches in January. We're up to 35. God has done every bit of this. In January, we had 1,974 people in Uganda which were under our spiritual leadership and care. And at that same time, I don't know, with these 5 other churches coming on, I don't know how these numbers have changed, if they have, but 17 of our T-Hop Uganda churches care for orphans. 17. 468 total orphans in January. Again, it may be more now. 468 total orphans under our spiritual care in Uganda. You will see as we go forth, there's more in other places. Can you bring up photo 1? And thank you, Brandon, for running that. Now, this is one group of orphans in Uganda. Those, I can't remember if there's 12 or how many there are there. But you'll see a goat in the foreground. Can you see a goat? That goat was given to us by those orphans. That was my first goat offering. That Susan and I received. But we knew that we weren't going to take the goat from them. So we said to them, thank you for our goat. Susan gave it a name, Eliza. I don't think they'd ever heard the name Eliza before in Uganda, but they have a goat named Eliza that they're keeping for us. And we told them, you take good care of it. You let it get bred and you produce more goats, you produce meat and everything, but that is our goat because you gave it to us. So they're caring for our goat there with that group of orphans. Now, in that particular place, there are more orphans that are not a part of our group. And there is a boarding school there also, and there are... Was it 300 and something total children going to that boarding school? And the owner of the school said, after I came, and we came and ministered in a church close to there, that he came and listened, he said, we want to come under Texas House of Prayer. This school, we cannot rename it because it's named after my father who donated the land. But we want to build a church, a Texas House of Prayer church building on our land here, and we want to be a part of your organization. And he said, and we know that you cannot give us money right now. We're not doing this for money. We feel that God has called us to be under your ministry. Texas House of Prayer Uganda continued. We have a Texas House of Prayer Uganda National Office opened on Friday. You can, next picture. On Friday, the 29th of December, 23. And then the release was, the lease was renewed again for 2025. This is our head office in Jinja City in Uganda. That is a small place, but it is a place where we have a desk, computer, printer, some seating area, and an office counseling area in the back of it where they have a place to go and conduct business. The national business for Texas House of Prayer Uganda flows through that office. Next, Mukisa Richard is my main contact in Uganda and really all of Africa. Met him online years ago. He reached out. I don't have time to get into all this today. It would take me hours to share with you how I really want to share with you. But he's the young man coming out of the door there. Of that office. But in September of 2024, when Susan and I went over for our first trip, Mukisa Richard was ordained. His ordination certificate, I thank God that Brother Marshall Hall and Brother Larry Whitehead, as well as Jason Tate, signed that ordination certificate with me. And he has that in his office. Can you go to the next slide? This is actually a video. I don't know if it'll play. That's okay. His wife, Scovia, is beside him, and we ordained him under our ministry. There it is playing. You can just let it run. This is in the main church in Uganda. It's in a slum area in Danita, part of Jinja City. Mukisa Richard was not ordained. He wasn't given an honorary ordination certificate. He earned it. We are conducting training, ordination training over there. He had completed hours and hours and hours of course material that I provided, foundational subjects that I believe is very important for anybody in ministry. And I'm offering it to, we'll get into that more in a minute. But he completed everything that he needed to at the time to be ordained. And he had shown his heart in continuing to build the church and to be faithful. The guy is so honoring. He is so respectful. He has told me his story and told me how he prayed for a spiritual father and that God had connected us. And this was long before any money was transferred to them. It wasn't based on money. It was based on understanding that somebody loved him and wanted to invest spiritually into his life. He is also the primary overseer of T-Hop Uganda and serves as interim overseer of relating churches in all of Africa. Calls coming, that would be Kenya, Tanzania. But he also receives calls that have been coming in from camps in Uganda, in the northern area of Uganda, where refugees from the Congo have come over the border and they want to come under our ministry. And then also from Burundi. There's three groups in Burundi, which is underneath Uganda, there's Rwanda, and then Burundi. And there's three. He just needs to get there and spend time with them. Next, Texas House of Prayer, Tanzania. There are eight T-Hop Uganda or Tanzania affiliated churches They're not registered with the government. They strongly desire to make the union legal and recognized by their government. It just takes money. So, and what I'm talking to you about today is sharing the vision, but also sharing a need. They need to be registered with the government. And the registration in Uganda needs to be taken a step further. They're registered, the name is registered, but they do not have authority with the government to marry people, bury people, and all the things that need to happen there. All of the 30 church, all the churches that are developed and arise in Uganda will be covered by one certificate. I can't remember how much it costs. We've been doing other things with money. But every time that they marry someone, they have to get another church who is registered in that way to do it. And then they give them two certificates, one from a church that is legal to do it, and then one from the church that they belong to. We would like to see that be one certificate and come through Texas House of Prayer, Uganda. But Tanzania has got no recognition from the government. At the time, in January, remember, I don't know what's changed since then, there were 267 total members. All eight of those T-Hop Tanzania churches care for orphans. They're in Tanzania, under our spiritual care, 205 total orphans in January. Now, I say they're under our spiritual care because that's the only care that we can provide at this point. We have done some things, giving money. We were blessed with some money not too long ago. We're so thankful from someone in this body blessed us with some money. We were able to do something for Christmas for the orphans there and send them back to school in January. We were also able to do something in Pakistan because of that same gift. It was a very huge blessing to both groups of people, and we thank this body for that and that individual for that. Texas House of Prayer in Kenya. Texas House of Prayer, Kenya. In January, we had one church there. Now we have three. Mukisa Richard is left Uganda to go to Kenya this weekend to spend some time with them, to encourage them, to strengthen the church there, and also to report back to me on the leader there of that group. I believe he's a good man. He's also almost ready for ordination. He's gone through for 2 years now these courses. I just needed someone to see him on location and to verify that his life is in order, his relationship with his wife, all these things that I can't do from this distance. So we almost have somebody who is going to be ordained under our ministry over there. Get ready to sign another one, brother. And they strongly desire to make their union with us legal and recognized by their government. Again, what does it take? More money. At that time, when there was only one church, they had 82 total members. I don't know what the three churches have as far as total members, but I do know that with the three churches, there are 44 orphans that they care for. Now, these are people who have taken on the responsibility of caring for orphans. It's not a government-funded program. These are people out of the goodness of their heart, and because their love for God and their love for these children have taken on this responsibility to feed them, clothe them, when they can, send them to school, all of these things. It is an amazing thing that is taking place there. In addition, very recently, since January, I have been contacted by a pastor in Liberia, which is on the west coast of Africa, right on the Atlantic Ocean. And He has churches. I can't remember. I think it was 8 churches in Liberia and Sierra Leone, which is just north of there. And he is going through the ordination series, just began, and we're developing a relationship with that man there. And again, it's just something God is doing. Remember, when that man said God is going to use you in a mighty way in Africa, I said, no way. But I didn't say it out loud. In my heart, I said, that will never happen. But look what God is doing. Amazing. Amazing. Now, I want to share some things with you here in a few minutes. But let me continue with our international ministry. Next, I want to talk to you about Texas House of Prayer Pakistan. We, in January, had 1 church in Pakistan. Today, we have 4 churches. They're affiliated with us. They strongly desire to make the union legal as far as their government is concerned and recognized by their government. In Pakistan, there, in those 4 churches, 305 total members. Zero orphans, but they have many children that they minister to, poor children that come to people's houses or come to a designated location to be ministered to the Word of God, taught oftentimes, and then also sometimes when possible, fed. There are 85 plus poor children who are ministered to in these 4 churches in that way. Also just begun is Maranatha School. Now this school, we were able to purchase tables, chairs, books, food, some backpacks and everything. Once again, that money came from the gift that was given, and we thank that individual who did that from here. Thank you so much. But we were able to open this school in Pakistan, where 50 students are being taught academics and the Word of God on a regular basis. Continuing on with Pakistan, developing relationships with many church leaders there, which are not under our covering, but desire to learn more about us. When Susan and I, and I'll talk about this in just a moment, but we plan, we're praying about making a trip to Pakistan in October of this year, our first trip. When we go there, everybody who has heard that we're coming says, you must come to our church. Please come. We have so many open doors. I find that the people that we have met in Uganda and Tanzania and Kenya and in Pakistan, they have been so honoring, so loving, so open. I've never felt so loved by people. You know, you can say to yourself, well, they're just online people, they're not real. No, these are real people. And they express over and over and over again how thankful they are for someone taking the time to spend, to invest in them. Next photo. This is Sharoon, is the man, and Sheza, his wife. They're newly married. Sheza just gave birth to a little boy, Aziel, who Susan and I chose the name. We were given a list of names. Or they said, or if you want a different one, choose that. But here's 3. And we chose Aziel and little baby Aziel. I don't have a picture of him. But that's Sharoon and Sheza. Once again, he is ready for ordination. He's completed as much coursework as Shem in Kenya and Mukisa in Uganda. And we will probably... Oh, Aziel means God is my strength. That's the one we chose, yeah. So, like I said, we've had many invitations to preach and hold conferences. I tell people all the time, on this trip, I'm not wanting to come to hold conferences, to call people to Christ. That's not that it's unimportant, but what's on my heart is to help develop leaders. So I'm more interested in having conferences for leaders and helping them overcome some of the things that I've already seen that are not right about there and encourage them. Many people are looking for discipleship and mentoring. And like I said, Susan and I are praying about going there in October of this year. And the goal will be to strengthen the churches and to help establish plans for future growth. Is everybody okay?
Oh,
yeah. I know this is...
Wonderful.
We're not shouting and spitting and dancing and...
I might dance.
You might. I had lunch with Brother Marshall, late breakfast with Brother Marshall on Friday. And he... been on medication. And we had a wonderful time, but I could tell he's been on medication. It was funny. But I so enjoyed my time with you, brother. Accomplishments of our international ministry. We have continued growth since the beginning. Continued spiritual growth, numerical growth, our effectiveness. Everything we're doing, every time we do something, people's lives are affected. I don't have time to go into all this. There's been people that are bishops of other denominations. One, I'd say plural. But one in particular said he was about to walk away from the ministry until he heard the message I preached at the one-year anniversary service. And the title of that message is Giving Up on Jesus is the Dumbest Thing You Could Ever Do. And he said, I was just about ready to walk away. And God spoke to me and said, you're not giving up on ministry, you're giving up on me. And he said, and I repented, and I'm going on. But our effectiveness, expanding hearts and minds through wisdom, through vision and growth. Through unexpected gifts from outside our church, and through the faithful and sacrificial giving of our church family, we were able to do many amazing and life-changing things. We were able to give, remember this is in January, so all these figures have not been updated. More has happened since January. And this was the beginning of January. We were able to give away more this year to our international work than ever before. We funded a trip to Uganda for Susan and me. This was back last year. The next photos. Oh, sorry, I forgot to show the Pakistan, that other one from Pakistan. That is a banner that they have in their place of meeting. There's Sharoon on the right and me and my precious darling bride on the left. Okay, this is when Susan and I were in Uganda. I have pictures and videos that would last us for a long, long time. I just put a few in here. This is one meeting that we held. Every meeting we went to started off with however many people were there. And during the whole thing, more and more people were coming. At the end of the thing, it was packed. There was people standing around outside. But this is one place. You see a tarp for a roof there. Next photo. There's Susan. This was the nicest building we ministered in. It was out in the middle of nowhere. In fact, this was only about a mile from the orphanage where the children were. But this was another building that did not belong to us. Borrowed it, and many other pastors and people from congregation came everywhere we went. It wasn't just our people. Everybody from all over the area came. And Susan, she would, at the end of the, she would greet the people. I'd have her greet her, the people with me. And then at the end, if she had something to share, I would allow her, ask her to come forward. And Makisa was disappointed a couple times when she didn't have anything to share. It was like, what? Because it was always a blessing. It was always something that encouraged the people. And there was only a couple times when she didn't. But it was like a real letdown for him. but that's her sharing at the end of a service. Next photo. This is my one chicken offering. At the end of one meeting, you can see a tarp over a place. That's where they normally met, but for us, and they had a lot more people, we met just to the left of that picture in another place. It was by a railroad track. It was on government land, and it was a makeshift building with tarps and stuff, and the wind got up real high, blew the tarps off. We had to stop right in the middle of my message, anchor everything back down, and continue the meeting. And I got a one chicken offering out of that deal. Next. Now, I had a two chicken offering and another place. And I think it was with the one chicken offering place. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But we also had a big, huge bunch of bananas like you see. Not like we get, but the big stalk of bananas and avocados and some other things from there. And let me just say, the bananas, the pineapples, everything, the avocados, you'll never get anything taste any better. It's fresh. It's sweet. It is amazing. Next slide. This right here was the only time that we took off. We were traveling the whole time we were there ministering. It was, in fact, that wasn't a whole day off. Susan spoke to a whole big, huge group of ladies that evening. But we went to the source of the Nile, which is right there in Jinja City. Jinja City sits on the banks of the, I keep wanting to call it the Sea of Galilee, but it's Lake Victoria, huge lake in Africa. Lake Victoria flows into, or what becomes, it's the beginning of the Nile River right there. So from there, that flows all the way up past the pyramids and out from Egypt. And that's Mukisa and his wife, Scovia. We went there to visit the source of the Nile. And I think that's the last picture. Yeah. We took with us and gave several thousands of dollars worth of gifts to the people of T-Hop, Uganda. There was equipment, phones, tablets, water purification things, several thousand dollars worth of stuff that we took with us. This past year, or during that year of 2024, we purchased a home for Makisa and his family. We had $20,000 extra given from an unlikely source that we didn't even ask money for. It came in $5,000, $7,500, $5,000. We ended up getting $20,000 from this unexpected source, and we were able to purchase a home for Makisa and Scovia. We leased a building for our Uganda National Office for 2 years in a row, which you saw. We have given to major outreach events in Uganda, giving T-Hop Uganda exposure and bringing acceptance. After their launch, and I preached via satellite like Elvis. No, it was a video call. But I was reminded of Elvis from Hawaii when I did that. I was nothing like him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not comparing the two. But I preach better than Elvis, okay? Anyway, Mukisa was, there were several bishops and leaders and government leaders and people that came. And they watched me on the big screen, and he translated. And they went away from that meeting, and the bishops, and this isn't our form of church government. This is how the Africans do it. We're trying to change things. But over there, the bishops, and it's like that here in some places, are the leaders of several churches. The leaders of the church in Jinja City ask Mukisa to be a part of the bishops. Immediately promoted, immediately recognized. He was honored along with other bishops by the president of Uganda in a great ceremony. So a lot of things have taken place over there in recognition. We also, because of our giving and helping them have these big meetings that we had. There were two big events. One was the launch in January 2023. And in January 2024, we were supposed to be there for that, and we missed it because of visa issues. But both of those cost a lot of money putting those things on. We've helped a young lady return to Uganda. This is somebody that we met online. She returned to Uganda from domestic slavery in Saudi Arabia. She went there to work to make money for her family and was basically imprisoned and kept in their home and hardly ever paid and hardly ever fed and just working 14, 16 hours a day for these Muslim people. But we helped her return from Saudi Arabia by buying her airplane ticket when she finally got released. We have helped to purchase office equipment and supplies for an office in Pakistan. But there's no building yet. So with Sharoon and Shiza in Pakistan, we got them set up for an office, but it's in their home, and they're actually living in her mother's home. So it was very cramped, along with some other family members all living in the same home. So they have the things to run an office there, but no building. We have given to provide musical instruments for T-Hop Pakistan and Christmas presents for Sunday school children. We have provided money for orphans in Uganda and Kenya just in time for Christmas. We purchased materials for the first ever English as a second language class in Uganda. The next photo, please. These ladies, they didn't have clipboards or anything to write on. Susan, would you come up here real quick? We don't have time for you to share, but I want you to be here. Susan was